words of that song. What we're going to do today is we're going to actually focus in just on a couple of verses. I don't have a sketch board with me today. I don't have PowerPoint with me. I don't have any of those things with me today. But there's really just two points, and I'll underline them really clearly for you so that if you like to take notes, then you can do that. But first of all, I'm just going to pray. Father God, I thank you so much that you call us to trust and obey you. Father, I thank you so much that because of the love that you lavish upon us, you call us to love you. That it's not a dry sense of religiosity, but it's flowing out of your love for us. Lord God, I pray that you will, by your Spirit, change our hearts today, that you will challenge us, that you will enable us to hear words of encouragement from you, words that are old words and also words that will challenge and rebuke us, Father. Help us to be open to that. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. I'm not sure what kind of 2015 you guys had. For some of you, I'm sure that it was probably a great year, right? It was a year of excitement, maybe a year of highs in your family. There might have been some goals that you set for this year that you just achieved. It could have been that people around you just seem to have been gathering around you in a way that they never have before. New opportunities, new relationships, new life. But then there'll be some of you whose 2015 was just really kind of pretty mundane, right? Nothing too much to report. It was just pretty much same old, same old. And then for some of you, 2015 has just sucked. It's just been a terrible year. And as you sit at the beginning of 2016, you're actually looking forward with a fearful hope. You're not too sure what way it's going to turn out. Broken relationships, struggle with sickness and depression, unwanted singleness, struggles with addiction and sin, struggles with contentment, loneliness, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy of love. The death of loved ones. Distressing diagnoses. Tough job contexts. Lack of purpose, meaning. Maybe loss of job. I don't know, but what I suspect for most of you is that your year has been a mixed bag of all three of those things. You've had some ups, you've had some downs, you've had some really, really terrible moments, and also you've just had the same old, same old. Either way, the beginning of a new year is an opportunity, isn't it, to recalibrate and refocus. It's actually an opportunity where we can look again at God and His promises and what that means for us as we push ahead into a new year. You know, it's this kind of dynamic at New Year of the ups and downs of everyday life and the expectant hope of the year ahead that kind of pushes us into a frenzy of making resolutions, isn't it? Now, you might be like Steve and you're an anti-resolutionary, right? You don't make any resolutions. You don't like them. You think that they're silly. But the reality is, I reckon that most of us at the start of a new year think about the year ahead, don't we? We think and we plan how this year ahead might be different than the one before. Even if it's with some form of trepidation. What are yours? What are the things that you hope for? The things that you dream of? The resolutions that you make for 2016. What are they? Now, I'm sure there's going to be a mixed bag, isn't there? There'll be people in here who make resolutions or plans about health and well-being. You just want to kind of cruise along with no issues. Career, money. You want to grow maybe in relationships. You want to spend more time with people that you've not been able to spend with before. Maybe you're thinking again at the beginning of the year that what I need to do yet again for another year is read my Bible more and pray more. Spend more time with God, growing in our understanding of who He is. What is it for you? I'm not sure, but what I do know is that even though a lot of those things might be good things, they don't compare to the resolution that I have as my prayer for you guys today. You see, the resolution that will radically change your life in 2016 is that you love God more. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a long time. It doesn't matter if you're still checking out Jesus for the first time, maybe. That the one thing that will change your life more in 2016 is that you will love God more. In fact, I think that doing that would have such a deep impact on your life and on my life that it might actually just be the only resolution we need to make this year. Just maybe. You see, it won't necessarily bring you health and wealth. It won't necessarily bring you out of sickness and leave your year void of suffering. It won't necessarily help you in every aspect of your life in one sense, because it's kind of broad, isn't it? We come with a broad sense of needs. Now, don't hear me wrong. When you do this, I believe that all of our needs are met in Jesus. All of our needs are actually met in a love for God, because loving God brings us life. Loving God and deepening our faith in Him will actually impact every area of our lives, every relationship, and everything that we do. You see, I'm not calling you today to keep laws or to grow in keeping laws, but to grow in keeping love. I'm not calling you today to grow in religion, but to grow in relationship. I'm not calling you today just to add on another thing that continues to do dry duty. But I'm actually calling you today to love God more. And as we do that, as we look and see how much He loves us, and that we love Him in return, that just is a ripple effect in our lives. As we grow in our love for God, it changes us. It really does. It actually makes you a better father, a better husband, mother, wife, partner, friend, employee, employer. It will actually give you deeper purpose, deeper meaning in life. It will give you perspective on all of the things that you walk through. And it will actually be this thing that will enable you to love others more. I'm absolutely convinced of it. The question is, though, how do we do that? How do we actually love God more? How do we love God actually when the inclination of our heart is to love other things? How do we love God more when we are inclined to continue to sin? How do we love God more fully and completely? That's what we're going to ask today. That's what we're going to look at. And we're going to simply see two things. We're going to see that we love God more by knowing Him, and we love God more by obeying his commands. You got it? We love God more by knowing him, and we love God more by obeying his commands. You see, it's pretty easy, I think as I was reading this passage, it's pretty easy to assume that the answer to how we love God more is obeying a list of rules. Because it says it there, doesn't it, in verse 5. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. But if this is all we see when we look at this passage, then I think we're going to leave here today with a misunderstanding of what Christianity is. I think we're going to leave here today with just all a set of rules that we need to force into our lives, that we need to kind of do with a bit of brute force and just cook ourselves up another New Year's resolution that, like all of the other resolutions, will either leave us feeling flat under the weight of guilt of not fulfilling it, or it'll make us love ourselves more rather than God when we do. You see, Christianity is not about knowing rules and following them. It's actually about knowing a person and following him. We need to get that before we look at verse 5. You see, the obedience here that John's talking about in verse 5 is not the secret to loving God. It's the sign of loving God. Do you get that? The obedience is not the secret to loving God. It's the sign of loving God. Now, we'll get to, in our next point, what it looks like that our obedience actually completes our love. We'll get to that in a bit. But I think it's so important that what we need to see here, first of all, is that loving God means knowing him. That actually what sits behind our obedience is a knowledge of God. Have a look at verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Right, following God's commands and obeying him points to the fact that we know him, doesn't it? That's what it says there. And you see, to love God is actually to know him. It's kind of pretty obvious, isn't it? To love anyone, we need to know them, don't we? We don't just need to know things about them. We don't just need to actually have an intellectual knowledge. That's not what John's talking about here. We actually need to have a knowledge that moves beyond knowing things about a person to a knowledge that's actually a deep, intimate knowledge that knows them relationally. It's a knowledge that Johnny Cash had for his wife Carter, right? And after 17 years of marriage, he wrote this letter to her on her 65th birthday. Listen to this. This is great. Happy birthday, princess. We get old and we get used to each other. We think alike. We read each other's minds. We know what the other wants without asking. You are the greatest woman I have ever met. You still fascinate me and inspire me. You influence me for the better. You're the object of my desire. The number one earthly reason for my existence. I love you very much. The only reason that Johnny can write a letter like that is that he knows his wife Carter intimately. He doesn't just know things about her, he knows her intimately, and that knowledge of who she is, from that flows his love for her. Do you know God like this? Do you know God in such a way that when you think and act, you actually think and act according to his will? Because you know what he wants for your life, because you know him. You know that he loves you. And because of that, you love what he loves and hate what he hates. Do you know God in such a way that actually fascinates and inspires you? Fascinates and inspires you. Do you love God in such a way that he is the object of your desire? Not just of what you know, but of your desire. That if all you had was him, then you would have everything. Do you know God in that way? Is he your number one reason for existence? See, as King David knew God more and more, as he grew in his knowledge of God and his love for him, he penned stuff like this. Far greater than Johnny Cash's letter, right? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God, or longs for you. Psalm 42. One thing I ask of the Lord is this. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him. This kind of love and knowledge that David has here flows completely out of his knowledge for God. That he is the one who painted the tapestry of this world. That he is the one who flung stars into space. That he is the one who made people in his image. That he is the one who redeemed them out of Egypt. That he is the one who made a people for himself and relentlessly loved them over and over again, keeping his covenant promise. This came from David's knowledge of the law, of the Torah, of his word, that was like honey on his lips, wasn't it? His precepts are joyful. How can you say that? You can only say that if you know God. Do you know God in that way? Do you desire God in this way? Were your resolutions and your plans more about doing and less about loving? You see, the greatest commandment is not do, is it? It's love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. I fear we so easily lose this idea that what we're actually called to is to know God intimately and to love him. I think actually we get so scared, and there's some right reasons for this, about whimsical love language for God, that we kick against any language that talks about loving God. Somebody asked me when I was up in the Gold Coast for a conference a question that just completely threw me. It was this: are you enjoying Jesus today? How did I respond, do you think? I responded by saying, oh, well, yes, well, I've read my Bible. I've kind of done all of these things, etc., etc., which, don't rule that out, you know, we'll get there in a second. But that wasn't his question. His question was just simply, do I love God? Am I enjoying him today? That threw me. Because you see, when we lose that, when we lose this idea of love, we kind of just reduce this relationship down to a set of rules, down to a set of do's and do nots. And that's not what you need for 2016. That's actually not what you need to live your life. No, what you need is to love God more. What you need to is to love God more by knowing him. See, this is the amazing thing, isn't it? God is not some kind of mystical being up in the sky. He's a person. He actually came down to us as a person so that we can have relationship with him. We know, we love God by knowing him. But how do we do that? Well, we do that by obeying his commandments. So what does he mean here in verse 3, right? We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Kind of, as soon as we start thinking about commandments, we don't really equate commandments with love, do we? In our mind, we normally equate commandments with some kind of hierarchy over us, a depersonalized relationship, and we just get it all wrong. But what does John mean here? And here's the first thing that he means. Turn in your Bible to John 1 John 3:23. And he tells us what the commandment is, or what the command is. It's to believe in the name of his Son, of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Have you got it there? To obey his command is actually to believe in the name of Jesus. It's to know God, therefore, is to obey his commands, and to obey his commands is to believe in Jesus. You see, Jesus himself said that only he knows the Father. Jesus actually said that no one can come to the Father except through him. See, are you following my logic here? So to know God is to know Jesus, isn't it? To truly know God is to truly know Jesus. And I know that many of you know that, right? But boy, do we need to keep on hearing it. Boy, do we need to hear it at the beginning of 2016. See, the only way that we can know God is if we believe in Jesus, because like John tells us there in verse 2, he was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's in Jesus that we see God's great love for us, that he died for you. But left to our own devices, though, without Jesus, we can't actually love God, can we? You see, we divert our love to all sorts of other things. We actually divert our love to things that don't even love us back fully in return. We divert our love to things that are just temporal and fleeting. We divert our love to things that just seem to let us down. All the while missing out on the greatest love that this world has ever seen. God. And we see it in Jesus. And without him, we can't know God. And all we're left doing is groping around in the dark, clinging on to things that will never live up to what they promise. You see, because of sin, we love other things apart from God. And no amount of resolutions, self-help, life change will be able to reverse the effects of sin. Actually, only Jesus can do that. It's only Jesus that can transform our hearts and actually enable us to go from loving everything else but God to loving God. The person that we were made to love. And it's out of that then. It's in that context that we love others better. It's in that context that our whole life is just completely transformed. Because you see, in Jesus, our hearts are kind of remolded and directed back to love for God. So to know God is to know Jesus. To obey his commands is to actually believe in Jesus. And to see the love that brought God down into the world. It's actually to see the love that brought Jesus to the cross. It's actually to see the love and to know the love that adopted us into his family. That's what he's calling you to. I find it very easy at times when I prepare stuff like this to just look at that as a list of things. For that just to kind of sit in my mind. But when we're called to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, that means that when we read stuff like this and when we hear stuff like this and when we know God, we ought to be enamored by him. We ought to actually be excited and blown away by this thing that we hear week in and week out. But more than that, when obeying his command is actually more than just putting your trust and belief in Jesus. It's certainly not less than that, but it's more than that. Because you see, when we love God, we obey him, don't we? When we see how much God loves us, the natural response is that we love him, we obey his commands, and his commands aren't burdensome. Have a look at 1 John 5:3. This is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Actually, God's commands are really, really, genuinely for your good. Actually, really, are for your good. Because they come from a God who loves you. God is not some capricious, rule-making deity up in the sky. He is a God of love. Who showed his love for you in his son Jesus. And who asks you to obey him out of love. The problem is for us, we often divorce this idea of obedience from love, don't we? We're so used to reading signs on the wall that tell us what to do. And then we very easily just kick it against the man, don't we? It lacks a personal kind of relationship. And outside of laws in our land, I think we do that in the Bible as well. We actually just divorce God's laws and God's commands from his love. Do you do that? I think I do that. I kind of set it aside and I study it and I kind of try to work out in isolation how I'm going to live that out in my life. But actually, that's part of a bigger story. That's actually set in the context of the big story of the Bible that shows God's love for us. That shows that he makes these laws because he loves us. This is why the psalmist can say in verse 19, verse 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts, which is just another way of saying laws, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Do you hear that? Refreshing, wise, joy-giving. The psalmist is saying here that God's laws are refreshing and bring wisdom and joy. And I actually think that this is in part how we understand this verse 5. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. See, Our love for God, I think our love for God is made complete because as we obey Jesus' word, as we obey God's word, as we look at it and study it and know him, we see that his commands are in the context of love. We actually see that time and time again throughout history that he continues to be faithful to his people, that he continues to love. And as we obey his word, then I think we know him more and love him more. And as we do that, I think it just continues and spirals so that we continue to be in a completeness of love. Now, we're never going to get there, right? But God's desire for your life is that you become more like Jesus. Is that you love him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. That's what God's working in your heart. See, as we hear God's word through the Bible and we obey it, I think we grow in our love for God. So, obeying God's commands is believing in Jesus, but it's also just obeying his commands. All of them. You know, the Bible kind of gives us a map for how we should live our lives. We're not left floundering around in the dark. And as we do that, I think we grow in our love for God. How are you going at doing that this year? For some of you who are maybe still checking out Jesus, this will actually mean that what you need to do for 2016 is stop sitting on the fence. Because you see, if you're going to love God, you need to obey him by believing in Jesus. You need to actually go from just checking him out to actually putting your trust and your belief in him for what he has done for you. Maybe start reading the Bible with someone. Don't just settle for your idea of who Jesus is. Don't throw him out on your idea. Actually look at what he said. That might be what God's calling you to do this year. To do now. For some of you, it's going to mean that you will need to start obeying God. 2015 has maybe been a year where you've continued to struggle with perpetual sin. You know what I'm talking about. And this year, it might just be that God is telling you to obey him. He's actually just saying to stop. Because you see, if we obey God and that brings us to a completeness of love, the opposite is true, isn't it? That when we continue to sin and not obey God, it actually just steals away our love for him. It actually just plucks it away. See, maybe your struggles in 2015 with reading your Bible, with motivation for going to church, with connecting with other Christians, maybe they've been partly because your love for God has been corroded by your disobedience. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's year in 2015 that was sucky was because of a result of sin. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to see that if we disobey God, it steals our love for him. And it just kind of pushes us into this mediocre Christian life where we slip into religiosity and not relationship. If that's you, then can I just say today, obey God. He actually loves you. He actually has your best interest at heart. He actually showed you his great love and lavished it upon you. Obey him. Because if you keep on disobeying him, John kind of seems to imply here that that makes you a liar. And that actually you don't know him. That's a strong warning, isn't it? You see, knowing God ought to result in obeying him. In an actual joyful obedience. Your motivation this year as you leave today, I don't want it to be a motivation just out of brute strength and self-reliance. I want it to flow out of this idea of God's love for you. That actually, the more that you know him, the more that you want to obey him. But to do that, we need to actually hear his word, don't we? We actually need to know his word. How are you going at reading your Bible this year? What plans are you going to make? Even for you guys that I know have read the Bible way more than I have, right? What plans are you going to make to read your Bible in such a way that you grow in your love for God? I'm not asking you to add another list of things to do. I'm actually asking you to love God more. And the way that we do that is knowing him. And the way that we know him is by actually knowing his word. And that means that we read our Bibles. That means that we study it. That means that we look at it probably the way that Carter looked at that letter from Johnny Cash. She would have read that with great joy and delight, wouldn't she? That's what we need to do. How are you going with that? Do you have any plans? Do you actually have plans for working out how you're going to continue to know God more? Because the last thing that you want for 2016 is to slip in to some kind of dry religion that's void of love, isn't it? You don't want that. Some of you are there, though, aren't you? Some of you are actually there. This has just been it's been a pattern of what you've done year after year after year. And somewhere along the line, you've lost this idea that what we're called to is to love God. And you know what that's like. It's actually burdensome. It's actually hard, isn't it? It feels like you're wading through thick mud because what you're doing is you're relying more on self and following rules rather than following a person and relying on him. You need to obey God as well. By believing in Jesus, not in your obedience. By believing in what he has done for you, not what you can do for you. Can you imagine, this is rebuking me massively, but can you imagine what it would be like if each and every person in here actually chose that what we would do in 2016 was to love God more? How would that impact your life? How would that actually change and impact Engadine Kong? Because it would. It would actually impact the way that you treat each other. It would impact the way that you love one another. It would impact the way that you view being together. It would impact the way that you welcome people. It would impact actually every single relationship. Because out of God's love for us and our love for God flows our love for others, doesn't it? I'm not sure how your 2015 was, but I can guarantee that if you choose this year to love God more, that will radically impact your life, regardless of what life throws at you. We love God by knowing him, and we love God by obeying him. I'm just going to pray. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that when we look at this, even just skimming over this little passage, that we see that we are to not just know things about you, but that we're to know you. And that knowing you actually should result in obedience. Forgive us, Father, for all of the times where we've been disobedient this past year. Forgive us, Lord, for all of the times where we just slip into dry lists of do's and don'ts. And we forget that what we're to do is to love you with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls. Lord God, we thank you so much that you forgive us when we confess to you. And we thank you so much, Father, that you give us your spirit within us to enable us to continue to follow you. Help us to do that this year. Help us to love you more for your glory. Amen.